Cool.
Well, good morning. That's good. Nice and awake this morning. Enjoying your weekend, I hope. I tell you, our kids are in for a treat this morning. They get to have pancakes with a pastor, which I've never been to one of those. So I might go join the. No, I'm kidding. I might go in between the service and see if they've eaten all the pancakes, and then see if I can't help knock some of those off. But just a fun thing our kids get to be a part of with Pastor Ryan and Alicia this morning on this weekend. So you might not have to feed your kids lunch, right? Because eat some pancakes. So that's a good little strategy. Well, it's good to see all of you here this morning. I don't even want to call you the non-campers. I probably will call you the ones who don't want to be camping with a billion different people in the woods, right? Amen, right? I heard, and I probably going to mess the statistic up, but I heard it was taking people like 4.5-5 hours to get to Ellensburg. Like 3 hours. It's just like crazy stuff. Like you could walk faster, right, and get there. So I am just glad that you all are here this morning. And I tell you, I just love coming together. I don't take it for granted as we get to really worship together in unity to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't think there's anything better than to do it. Again, I could do it in my car by myself, but it's just not as fun, right? It's just not as fun than coming together. I'm excited to continue this morning as last week I started the next 3 weeks we're going to be talking about, I think I called it, what keeps you up at night, being the church that God dreams of. And last week we talked about seasons, and we read the scripture out of Jeremiah 29, and I just want to read it because I want to keep it before us because I believe it gives a very clear picture of what we're supposed to be, you know, in a time of uncertainty, which I feel like as a nation we could be in, sometimes as a church, as individuals, that there's a lot of uncertainty, there's a lot of unknowns, and I feel like in the midst of that, the word of the Lord is still constant, and the word of the Lord and the promises of the Lord are still constant. And so I want to read it because I think it gives us a great picture of who we're supposed to be as the church. And again, this is speaking to God's people who are in exile and who are displaced from their home. So they're probably uncomfortable, right? It gives you a picture of where they're at, and they're probably not in a stable place. They are in a very unknown place, a place of maybe bondage and confusion. And I think even the season that we've been in as a church, that there's some unknowns, and there's been some unknowns and some hard seasons and hard things. And in the midst of that, I think the word of the Lord is still there. So let's start at verse 5. I'm just going to read like three of the verses this morning. But it says this. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to the captives he has exiled to Babylon. It says, build homes and make a plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food that they produce. Marry and have children, and then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply, do not dwindle away, and work for the peace and the prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. And so just again, just to recap, just what an incredible promise to us and an incredible word of direction in the midst of confusion, that we are to be the place where people can come and find safety and security, where they can make covenant, where they can build a legacy. And I want to be a church that is known by its community, that is praying for its community. Amen? That people will know us in our community, not because we're just against everything they do, but because they see something inside of us that they say, that's just different. That's weird. I want to be what that is. And then they will come. And so that's what we're called to be as a church. I believe we talked about seasons. I think many times we try to get through the season that we're in, or try to get on to the next season. And I think we learned last week of really leaning into the season God has us, whether it's for your family, for your business, as a church, of not understanding the season, but God saying, whatever season you're in, lean into that season and learn what I want to teach you in that season. And so we're called to grow in all seasons. Even in winter, I believe we're called to grow. Amen? And it's easy just to huddle down and I'm just going to get through the winter season. But God says, no, I want you to grow in it. And so we're going to continue to just talk about that today. I'm really excited because I think if there was a message that I shouldn't have to prepare for, when I say that, I mean it's not just in my head, but it's in my heart. It's this message. And it's really interesting because I was thinking about the title of today, and it's really, there's power in being planted is what I want to talk about. And I think about the power of being planted. And when I say planted, I'm talking about being planted in the house of the Lord, being planted in a church body, in a church family. There is tremendous power that comes with that. But I was thinking about, because my life is a message of being planted in a church family. Like, I've been going to this church for almost 35 years. I don't remember the first, like, 4 or 5 years, right? Because I was a baby. But I was been planted in this church. And so I know the power that comes when you're planted in the local church body. And I was thinking about this message, that this message doesn't, it's not very popular to preach on anymore in America. Because people go, well, you want to talk about being planted? Well, I don't want you to tell me what I'm supposed to do or not supposed to do. And I'm going, I'm not talking about that, right? I'm talking about being planted. Because I think if we look at the Word of God, there's tremendous power that comes when we are planted in a church family. I was thinking about the statistic that I've heard for the last 20 years is they say 50% of marriages end up in divorce. Right, and they were saying that statistic like 15 years ago. So that means for at least 15 years, 50% of the kids that come to church are dealing with divorce. Okay, roughly, right? In my head, I'm going, well, I realize why the message of being planted isn't very popular. Because there's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of wounding. There's a lot of kids that don't know what it's like to be in a place where they can be planted because of the uncertainties. And so it makes sense to me of why that message isn't, this message that we're going to talk about isn't very popular to preach on. Because I think it brings up hurts, it brings up woundings, it brings up those times that you were hurt and so there you uprooted, or your father and mother, their marriage didn't work out and you saw roots just uprooted and try to plant a new life, and it makes sense to me. But it doesn't change the fact that that's part of God's design. That God has designed us to be planted in a church. And so I'm really excited because I think I just get to share a little of my heart of why. And I think for us, I look around, like scan, you know, quick scan. Most of us that I know in this room have been planted in this house. Not all of you, but a lot of you have been planted. And I think we hear messages like this and we're like, oh yeah, I am planted. So, and I think this morning, it might not be for you to realize, oh, I'm planted. It might be you realizing, I'm hearing this message for someone that's not planted. I'm hearing this message because there's someone that needs to get planted, and my life as one being planted could be an example to them. And so we're going to talk about this whole power in being planted. I talked last week about the Lord's design for His church is to win. Right? More than conquerors, to be victorious. And I think being planted is avoiding defeat. And I think it was great what George said about worship and all the armor and the defense. Well, if you want to avoid defeat in your life, then I think being planted is important to talk about.
the scripture that we read in Jeremiah really creates a great picture. But have you ever met someone, and it's happened to me once, it hasn't happened to me a whole lot, but people have said, I really want what you have. Has anyone had that happen to them? It's pretty cool when it does. And then they're like, so you got to just tell me what it is. And so how I can see what you have, Justin, and I want that, so tell me what you did. And then they go, well, I don't want to do that. Right? Have you been there? Well, I know that sounds great, but is there a different way to get what you have without doing the things you just said? I'm kidding. No, there's not. Because I think we've seen that to get the results, you've got to do certain things. And you can't, there's certain shortcuts you can take, but a lot of things, there's no way to shortcut them. And so when we're talking about being victorious, I believe that being planted and being victorious in life go hand in hand. Because I look at many people in this room that maybe I would say have been planted at this church body, and I could say part of the reason they're successful is because you're still here. Because you didn't give up, because you could have uprooted and you chose not to. And I think if I look at some of these pillars and I say, man, that's one of the keys. So if I want to be like that at some day in my life, well, then I need to continue to practice those things that they're doing. So I want to read this morning out of one of the verses I want to use today out of Psalms 92. And it says this, it says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like the cedars of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. And I love this. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. What a promise to us. Right? I think there's a few key words that we can learn from that. The first thing I want to look at is the word that says planted. So there's planted and there's flourish. I like flourish a whole lot better than planted. Right? How many want to flourish? We all would raise our hand. I want to flourish into the things of God. Well, in order to flourish, I think the A has to come before the B, right? The planting has to come before the flourishing. Because we are called to flourish as Christians, as sons and daughters of the King. But there's only going to be so much flourishing if there's planting. Right? You hear what I'm saying? You're going to flourish as you're planted. So I said this, power comes with planting, weakness comes with isolation. Okay? Power comes with planting, with being planted to something. Weakness comes when there's isolation. I think we could see this example played out in the natural, in nature, when they clear cut a whole forest and they leave one tree. Well, that tree might as well just go because it is no longer protected from the wind. So weakness comes with isolation. And so you and I, if we want to be powerful, if we want to be the church that God dreams of, we've got to be the church that understands that there is tremendous power that comes when we're planted. Why? I'm going to talk really about three and a half or four reasons of why it's important for us to grasp this principle. Because I believe in the season that we're at as a church, we've got to understand this. We've got to not just understand it, but we've got to own it, right? It's like we've got to say we really realize that this is part of God's strategy for us as a church, is to really be planted. I was thinking this week as I was preparing the message of we're planted in a local church family because, number one, it's a place of safety. Okay, it's a place of safety. It's a place of retreat. And that word retreat can mean two different things. Okay, it depends on how you look at it, right? We learned in like third grade the difference between a noun and a verb. Some of us learned it maybe in fifth grade, right? Late bloomers. But we learned the difference between a noun and a verb. Well, retreat can be either, right? We're not talking about the verb retreat this morning. right? Because I'm not talking about we're retreating because things are too hard. No, being planted is important because being planted to a church body is a place of retreat, noun. It also means a place of safety, a place of fortress, a place of dwelling, a place where you can go and get away from the storms of life. Okay, that is a retreat. A retreat is a place of recharging, right? When you do like a men's retreat, it's like, well, we're not running away, right? But it's a place where you can get strong and strengthened. And that's what we're called to be. I don't know how many people, probably the number one complaint that I hear from people of why you don't go to church, and they will say, because it's a place that I get judged. Lord, help us. Lord, help us, because this is supposed to be a place of safety. And secondly, I'm going, why do you think we're always thinking about you, right? Because I'm not. I'm thinking about a lot of other things. I don't have time to judge. But I think it's important that we understand that this is to be a place where we can come and we could be recharged. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes you have bad weeks. Sometimes I have bad months. Sometimes I have a day where I get some bad news and I need a place to recharge. And that's what this place is called to be. Is a place where regardless of how hectic or hellish your week was, that you can come to the safe place of safety, place of retreat, place of recharge, and you could be encouraged. Why? Not because your weaknesses aren't there anymore, because you are planted in a safe place. Amen? Because you are planted in a safe place. So, as a noun, not as a verb. And again, many of you understand this already. And again, it might not be for you this morning. But it might be as we're believing that God is drawing people to Him, to His church. We need to understand that they're looking for a place of safety. Not where they can get away with their sin, but where they can come and they could know that they're going to find the presence of God here. And now they know that they've got issues. I don't need to always tell them they've got issues. I need to trust that the Holy Spirit's going to do His part in their life. You know, I don't know about you, but I have moments of weakness. I think we all do. And me coming to this safe place, me coming to church, to Generational Hope Christian Center, is a place where I can get support and encouragement. It's a place where I know I'm not the greatest husband in the world, honey, right? I'm not. But I know that I can come to this place and I can get encouragement from fathers and mothers and other husbands that are going, I just need the support too. I need that place of recharge too. And I could be that for them. I think we need to get to the place where we realize that there's struggles in life that you're not going to defeat on your own. Can I just say that this morning? That there's things that you can try to beat on your own and you could try to conquer, but you weren't meant to conquer them by yourself. You weren't meant to beat those things. And a lot of times the tendency, especially in men, is we say, well, as soon as I get this figured out, then I can be an encouragement to someone else. And I think it's okay to say God wants to use you in your process. God wants to use you before you've conquered all your issues. And that's why I like to come to church on Sunday mornings, because I'm not perfect and I don't have all my issues figured out. Ask my kids, ask my wife. But as I come, I'm coming to that place of recharge, of safety. Listen, many of you feel like you're under attack constantly at work, at home, at school. Right? This is the place where you can come and you can get away from that attack and learn that there's more. that there's more. Again, not ignoring our weaknesses. I'm just coming to church for 2 hours and ignoring my weaknesses. No. But as I come, I'm going to tap in to the strength that others have here. And that there's power in that. There's power in us realizing we have a safe place that we can come and worship. And we can create that place where people can grow. So it's a safe place. I believe this is the greatest place to do life in. I believe it is. I don't believe the best place to do life with a young family is on the baseball field. I don't believe that. I play baseball with my kids. We have a great time. But that's not the place to do life. I believe the place to do life is in the context of a local church body, a family. Okay, it's a good spot to do life in. Because, again, you have your issues. Right? Look at your neighbor and say, you have your issues. Right? You have your issues, right? I have my issues, but we're all coming here because we want to honor God with our lives, right? We are coming here not because we're issue-free. One of you might be, right? Two of you might be. Doubtful. But we're coming here because in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our shortcomings, we all want to see God be glorified and lifted up. And so that's why we come together. Even in your dysfunction, we come. Even though you're saying, man, Pastor Justin, my family's this, my family that. It's a mess. I don't know what being planted means. I don't know what being planted look like. Even in your dysfunction, you want to come. And you want to try to honor God together. Amen? Psalm 68, verse 6. I love this scripture because it says that God sets the lonely in families, and he brings out those who are bound into prosperity. He sets the lonely in family. He sets the dysfunctional in family. And then it says that he is going to make them prosper. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. I believe that he wants to bring you into prosperity with the people that surround you. He's not just going to bring you in prosperity together, but as you surround yourself, as you grasp, and as you understand that God is putting you into a family, he's going to give you prosperity. So I think those things go hand in hand, that you will prosper in life as you learn to not be lonely and learn to be planted in family. I got to keep moving here because I could talk about this all day. Again, I want to see GHCC to be a place that's a refuge, a place of hideout, a place of safety. A fortress, a strong place that those can come. So we're planted, and being planted creates a place of safety, of recharging. The second thing I want to talk about this morning when it comes to being planted and why do we need to be planted in a church, I want to read a scripture out of Psalms 92, verse 13, and I read it already, but it says, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. So the question this morning is, what is giving you your firm foundation? You know, we love to marvel, and I'm not really like a big like nature, like I just want to look at the nature and take a picture of it. I'd rather like be in the nature with like a fishing pole in my hand or some sort of a firearm, enjoy nature. You know, that's just kind of my thing. But I have at my property, we have some trees, and they are what's called, if they fall over, they will engulf our house, and sometimes I think my wife prays that they will engulf our house so we can build a new house, right? I mean, these trees are massive, huge trees, and I don't worry about them going down because they're massive. And they're huge, and their root systems is even bigger. But we marvel at things that are sturdy, that are firm. I can sit and I can look at a church like Generational Hope Christian Center, and it's easy for me to marvel because people say, how long has the church been in existence? And I say, I don't know, like 50 years, probably more than that now because it's 2070, 70 years. And they go, wow. And I go, wow. I see this tree that is huge, that is big. And I say, wow, I want that. Trees like that, you can't put in a pot. You can't uproot the redwoods in California successfully because they're planted. Their roots are too all over the place. And so you can't pot them. And I think a lot of times we look at these things and we say, man, I want the stability of church, but I just want to put it in my little pot. Well, you can't. You can't put it in your pot. So we're called to be planted in the house of the Lord, just as the scripture says, right? Not just in my little family. I think that's the tendency, especially when you look at where our society is. Well, if I'm just going to take my little family and I'm going to huddle my family together, my boys. And I don't think that's a way to be planted in the house of the Lord. I don't think that's what the scripture's talking about. It's just, I'm just going to take my family and hide. It's not meaning I'm just going to be planted on my couch every Sunday morning. Okay, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about, where's your foundation? Okay, I think there's two things when we talk about roots. You know, we can talk about, man, I've got some roots on my trees that are bigger than a lot of trees at home, right? They're like this big around. Obviously, that speaks for itself, doesn't it? Man, that tree is not going anywhere because it's got thick roots, and I could spend hours talking about that. But I think the other cool thing that we can glean about it as we're talking about being planted in family is when you take one tree down, a lot of times other trees go with it because of the roots. Because as you are planted in the house of the Lord, you're going to put roots down. And you're not just going to put roots down, but your roots are going to go out. And my roots are going to start to touch your roots, right? It's like, what is he talking about? Is that kind of weird? Right? You guys get what I'm saying? But as I grow, as I plant, I'm going to start taking my roots and intertwining them with Pastor Tom and what he's doing. And then as we continue to worship the Lord together, you know what? Your roots are going to kind of spread over to my neck of the woods. And we're going to be grounded together and intertwined together. And good luck getting some of those thick forests apart. You can't transport them because you don't know whose root is this, whose root is that. And I think there's tremendous power as we're talking about this morning, because I believe I can also flourish after what God is doing in your life. I believe because we're connected at the root, when there's good things going on in your life, I believe because we're planted together that I can reap some of the benefits of those things. That's powerful. Powerful this morning. That it's not just us being planted deep, but that our roots are planted wide and intertwined with others that are being planted. I look at a lot of people, and it makes me sad, because people that want to grow closer to the Lord, and we all have a good hearts to do right, and I look at the history of their life, and, well, where tell me about your church life, and, well, I've you know, been looking for a home church for 15 years. Huh. I had a home church, but then something happened, and they were uprooted, and every time, it breaks my heart because it has hindered, their lack of planting has hindered their growth. The times that you're uprooted, I mean, you only can uproot a tree so many times before you kill it, right? And again, I'm not much of a gardener, so I don't even uproot them once, right? You don't do it. You know, I look at the life of David, and in Psalms 24, or 27, verse 4, you know, we sing songs about it. It says, "One thing I ask, Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in your house, Lord." Right? But there's this place of dwelling that comes, right? Dwelling is speaks about longevity. It speaks about being permanent, right? So, Lord, that I may dwell in your house. You know, God is looking for a church where people are looking to dwell in his house. Okay, so roots. Our roots need to be together. Let me just tell you one thing. It's not going to just happen on Sunday mornings between 9 and 10:30. Can I tell you that this morning? It's not going to happen. Because we got like an hour and a half, and we just high-fived each other for a minute. Say, greet one another. That's not being rooted. That's just coming to church. But out of that, there's got to be more. There's got to be a desire in our lives that says, I need to be rooted with other people. I need to be connected to other people. Okay, the third thing I want to talk about when it comes to being planted in the house of God with each other, with you and I together, and I'm going to go there, but I'm not going to go there like you think I'm going to go there. In Hebrews 10:24, it says this, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day is drawing near." Listen, I'm not going to talk to you this morning about being in church every single Sunday. Okay, because I've been there, done that, heard that. But I do want to look at the first part, the stirring each other up. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. I think we need to realize that there's a stirring up that happens when we meet together on Sunday mornings. Okay, there should be a stirring up where I come and it's like I'm stirred up by your faith. I'm stirred up by your worship. This morning I was stirred up by what George said in worship. As he said, hey, didn't have the greatest week. You know what? That stirred me up because maybe I didn't either. But I was stirred up by what God was doing in George's heart. So as we come and as we share and as we meet, there should be a stirring up that happens. And if not, I would say, well, we probably all need to look at our own lives and say, what's going on? Is there any flames burning still? Because it just says, right after, let us think of ways to motivate one another. Then it says, don't neglect meeting. Why? Not so you miss a tithe or, you know, just your blue seat's going to sit empty for an hour and a half. No, that's not why. Because you might miss the opportunity of stirring someone up. You might miss the opportunity of being that flame to someone that really needs that encouragement for the morning. That's why we meet together. That's why we're diligent about being at church together, because we get the opportunity to stir someone up. Amen? That I'm not doing this life on my own, but I could see others doing it with me. One of a great scripture in Colossians 3:16, and it really talks about our corporate worship this morning, and we were just talking about it in the back room, but it says this, that let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. Okay, if I'm reading that correctly, it means that as I sing songs, as I worship the Lord, as I participate in corporate worship, it might teach and counsel you. Think about it. that through us worshiping, singing the song of the Lord that God's given you, it might bring encouragement to the person that you're worshiping next to. It's not just, oh, I don't feel like singing this morning because I have a cold. Well, you know what? The song that you sing to God might be the breakthrough that the person sitting right in front of your sweet little voice needs to hear. God, we pray the prayers. God, I want to minister to someone. Well, you know what? Then just participate in lifting him up. Then just participate in making God great and praising his name, because in doing that, you might be teaching someone something. You might be counseling someone without even knowing you're doing it. You might be encouraging. You might be stirring someone on. So that's why we worship. One of the reasons why we worship. That's why we praise. It's not just because we need to kill some time, but there's power in praise. There's power in corporate praise. There's power in me hearing the song of the Lord that you're singing, because I probably need to be singing the same one in what I'm going through. There's power in that. This morning, it just worked out this way, right, just by random, that we get to take communion together. And I don't think it's by random. I mean, months ago when we did the schedule, sure, it was probably by random. But I think it's very important as we take communion in hearing this message on being planted. I look at probably the number one, and guys, I'm going to invite you guys to come. So elders, the men that I've talked to, if you guys would come, George, if you want to come up here, worship team, and just play, we're gonna take communion. And I'm just going to say a few more things as they're passing it out. So if guys, if you would come, Pastor Tom, and pass the emblems out. But I was thinking of all the different ways that the enemy likes to attack the church. There's a lot of different ways. And I think the number one way that the enemy likes to attack the church is he always likes to go after the unity within the local family. Why? Because he knows if he can disrupt the unity, if he can disrupt the planting, then he's won. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how many times have you heard people left the church because they had a disagreement with someone else? You guys want to start passing? Awesome. I mean, how many times do we hear of, well, I don't go to the church anymore because I had a disagreement with someone? The enemy's always going after unity. And that's why I think doing communion together this morning is so important and so powerful. Because number one, we are identifying ourselves to Jesus, to the author, the perfecter of our faith. We are saying, Jesus, I'm committed to you. But I think it's important that we don't just do it by ourselves, but we do it in context of family. Because as we take communion, we're all committing ourselves to the same purpose, the purpose of Jesus, but we're doing it together. Because I can look at your life and I can say, hey, I know what this person's gone through. I know the battle. I know the struggle that they've gone through in serving the Lord. I know the victories that they've won. I know that this person fought for their healing and they conquered. I know that these people were fighting for their marriage 3 years ago. But look, they battled. They conquered. They walked it out. And so this morning, as we are, maybe you feel like you're fighting battles, I want you to look to your left and to your right. And I want you to see who's there. I want you to see that, hey, maybe he fought some battles and he won. That's another reason I love communion. It's because it's not just Jesus, but it's with family. I can only imagine the disciples looking around that room, and they made mistakes after, big mistakes, right? Huge mistakes. But they had walked with each other. They had talked with each other. They had probably cried together. And they said, hey, we're doing this together. We're in this together. We're fighting the good fight together. So let me pray, and then we're going to take our communion together. But Father, God, I thank you for this church. God, I thank you that you've called your church to be planted together. Father, even as I look across this room and look at what you're doing in our midst, Father, I pray, even as we heard today, the importance of being planted. Father, would you help us to recognize the true importance of being planted. Father, that we are called to be this place of safety. Father, that your church is called to be a place where those can come and find being charged in the Spirit, being recharged, a place of fortress. Father, that you've called us as brothers and sisters in Christ to stir each other up, to build off each other. Father, to be encouraged by what you're doing in our lives. Father, help us to recognize that today, this morning. Father, help us to create a place where others can come and be planted. So, Father, as we come and take communion together, Father, reestablish our covenant and commitment to you and your purposes. But, Father, we also reestablish our commitment to one another. The commitment that says, I'm in this through the good and the bad. I'm in this because your kids' freedom is worth it. So, Father, as you broke bread with your disciples and you said that this is my body that is broken for you, Father, thank you for your body. Father, thank you because of your body, Father, we can have a relationship with each other. And because of your body, we can be planted together. Father, it all goes